Spotify.
Hello. Thank you for choosing the Lackadaisical Libriculobiculist Podcast. Without further delay, here is your host, Jordan Maywood.
Hello! Welcome to the Librocuba. My name is Jordan Maywood, and I am the Lackadaisical Librocuberculist. Today, within the Librocube, my friends, is Internet Day. Yes! One of my most favoritest of all days in the Librocube, a day in which I have, in the week between Fry Internet Days, weeded through the flotsam and jetsam of the interwebs and brought back the shiny pearls of edumacation and edumatainment. Huh? You know what I mean. For you to peruse and perhaps take back to your own Librocube and view for yourself. One thing I say at the top of every show, with the exception of Rock Internet Days, is a sort of spoiler alert. However, I also say that on Rock Internet Days, that I don't give spoiler alerts, which in itself is a spoiler alert when you think about it. But don't think too long, because we got a lot to cover today. Another thing I like to say is that if you like what you hear, the only payment I ask is $1 million. No. That is ridiculous. The only payment I ask is perhaps you pass the podcast on to a friend. Perhaps you rate, subscribe, and comment in iTunes, because that is what helps others find a podcast. And let's get this baby a-growing. Why don't we? Something I only say on Internet Days, because it kind of goes hand in hand, is that the podcast, meaning this one, has an app. There's an app for this, available for free, no less, in the Android Google Play Store place thing. Basically, it just, if you are not listening in, say, an iTunes or a Stitcher, which we are also available in, it just kind of helps keep things in order, nice and neat and tidy, and I like that. If, like me, you are using an iDevice, the good people over at Podbean, who host the site, have created a mobile version of all of their podcast websites, which basically, if you add to your home screen, is app-like in its functionality. So, thank you to them for hosting in general. You know what I haven't mentioned in a while, and I don't know if I ever brought this up. The people over at Podbean, when I first started out, there was the odd time in the sort of first couple of weeks, maybe even months, where I'd go to the site and it would be down. So because I'm paying a yearly subscription, I think that gave me a right to be not happy, which I was not. That has since disappeared, and I don't think it's been down even once, maybe once. Jesus Christ. Did you hear that giant rock hit my car? It's probably not good. Driving behind a dump truck and shit's falling off of it. God damn dump trucks. I hate dump trucks. I always get caught behind dump trucks. Shit falls off dump trucks and hits me. This dump truck's not going to get over into the slow lane, so now I got to friggin' speed around it. Dump trucks, the bane of my existence. What was I saying? So the good people over at Podbean are now using the Amazon, I'm not sure if it's called the Amazon Cloud Service or just Amazon Hosting. So basically they're using Amazon to host all of their podcasts. So that's good for us, because before I guess it was just them doing it in-house, but now it's Amazon, a huge company, and sort of, I guess, obviously more known for their being sellers of things. However, perhaps not as widely known for hosting sort of giant swaths of the internet. So kind of a cool little tidbit there for you. Okay, so last piece of podcast-related business is, of course, today's sponsor, because we gotta get paid, people! It's keeping the lights on and the headlights, I guess, since I'm driving, and keeping gas in the tank, because, again, I'm driving. So, today's sponsor is from the people who brought you Organized Religion comes the DVD Rewinder. Once again, today's sponsor, from the people who brought you Organized Religion, comes the DVD Rewinder. Be kind, rewind. Okay, so, I think I did mention that I got a shit ton of items today. Probably too many. Probably Thanksgiving, Christmas Day scenario that my eyes are bigger than my belly. In this case, it will be my, eyes and brain and mouth are bigger than the time allotted in my drive to and from work. Yeah, it's basically a direct correlation. I push my glasses up in the middle when I said that, just so you know. Item the first is a Co-optitude, which I think I brought back a couple of weeks ago. This is one of those examples that I have quite often, and so is the next one too, actually, where it is an item that I did not plan on bringing back, however, could not resist. That seems to be a theme on internet days. I was actually planning on doing a short episode, just drive to work episode today. However, so many things came up, I'm like, oh, well, hey, I have to say something about this, because it is awesome and people should see it. And I like to get it out of my brain and into the ether. This podcast has become a form of almost therapy in releasing the pressure valve of things in my brain out into the ether. Aha! I like it. Hence the thought that I would do it even if I had no listeners. However, I want listeners as well. I want the best of both worlds. So Co-optitude is on the Geek and Sundry YouTube channel with Miss Felicia Day, of course, who is the head of the channel, creator of the channel. In this, let's just call it a web series, because that's what I have decided to call everything to make it easier. Web series. She and her brother will sit down and play a video game from the past. Although I guess every video game is technically from the past, unless it has not been released yet, in which case they probably would not play it, because it's more of a retro feel. The game in question, and why I had to bring it back, was GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64. GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64. I played a freakish amount. Probably, looking back, an unhealthy amount of GoldenEye playing went on in my life at a time. Played it by myself, played it with friends. Don't think I am misremembering this, although when I say it, it is a possibility. Me and some friends who shall remain nameless, perhaps, allegedly, may have smoked doobies all day and played this all day. Like, 8 hours of playing, smoking doobies, getting our munchies on, and playing. This game and also Mario Kart. Yeah, those two games. Mario Kart 64 and this game. Just a freakish amount of doobie smoking and playing them, which I look back on, although not with very strong memories, because I don't remember it too strongly, but fond memories nonetheless. So that's why I had to bring it back. It kind of brought it out in me, those memories. So Brian and Felicia sat down to play this. They had a lot of fun, although were horrible at it. Frustratingly horrible. Horrible to the degree that I potentially, although I don't think I did, could have screamed at the screen at my computer monitor, "Oh my god, what are you doing? This is so easy." They couldn't pass the first level. I think they were perhaps thinking too hard. That may have been the problem. They made a couple Remington Steele jokes, because Pierce Brosnan, who is the character, is the James Bond of this James Bond video game, was also Remington Steele, who I think my mom used to watch that. That's a little before my time. They spoke a lot of, I don't know if they got this entire N64 system or just this GoldenEye game from like a used game shop, obviously. They're not still making these. But all the sort of information was still saved on it, so they know the former owner, his name was Gerhardt, because he had written his name in marker in sort of childlike script on top of the cartridge, and then he had unlocked basically everything in the game, which is pretty impressive of Gerhardt. They had a problem in the first mission with covert modems. Didn't really know what to do with the covert modem. We're just basically chucking it around at everything. Eventually, they slipped into using cheats, which, you know, was fun. Was fun and funny. They did a little big heads. I remember that, too. The big head cheat made your heads abnormally big. And they played a little multiplayer, just the two of them. That's kind of what I look most fondly on, is using proximity mines. I believe the level was called Complex. Yeah, that was my favorite. Okay, so let's get on to the second item, which is another item I couldn't resist but had to bring back. It is, of course, well, I don't know why you say of course, it is, lose the of course, Speakeasy with host Paul F. Tompkins, with guest Ben Schwartz. Ben Schwartz, who basically, I'm fairly certain, every single time he has come up on the podcast, which is often, I have thrown out the sort of declaration that he will be the next big thing in comedy. He will explode onto the comedy scene, and you will see him in everything. He'll be just huge. Huge, huge, huge. The next Zach Galifianakis. The next very popular comedian person will be him. Alright? That prediction seems to always be getting closer and closer. For example, he spoke a little bit on this about his new movie coming out. This is interesting, and I guarantee we'll see it and bring it back. You can put that in the bank or under your mattress, if that's where you keep your valuables, in which case you're an idiot. That's the first place robbers look, is under your mattress. Oh, God, you're going to get robbed. Anyways, the reason it is interesting is not just because it stars Ben Schwartz. I didn't write down the other people's names. Dennis Reynolds from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Richie, is his name Richie, from Eastbound and Down? I think it's Richie. And it just looks hilarious. It's called Coffee Time. That's interesting right there and cool and awesome, and I want to see it. But the reason I keep saying interesting and then not explaining it, the frustrating reason for you, I'm sure, is that it is the first movie created, produced, funded by, whatever you want to call it, by College Humor, by the website collegehumor.com. So I very, very much like that idea because I'm a huge, huge, huge College Humor fan, been watching for so many years that it is not even funny. It's a little funny, but it's not even funny. So they spoke of acting versus writing. Ben Schwartz, spoke of sort of acting versus writing. Ben Schwartz got his sort of start in the biz more in the writing than the acting, and has since moved into the acting. He was a page at the David Letterman show, Late Night with David Letterman. Yes, hence the name. And he would write jokes for the monologue. Apparently he got on 20 or 30 of them. That is over the course of years. However, apparently it's very, very hard to get into that sort of world. But he did so, cracked right in. He's written for quite a number of other things. He's written his own screenplays and is a big fan of writing in general. Comedic, I think, always. So he kind of goes back and forth between acting, writing, and said, God, he needs, just thinking that made me think, oh man, this guy needs a break. And then he said it, which was kind of weird. When you think something and then the person says what you are thinking on a screen you are watching, that is weirdness. His Twitter handle is called Rejected Jokes, which are jokes that were rejected from the David Letterman show. That's how he kind of got his start on Twitter and just, I guess, hasn't bothered or thought it wise to change his Twitter handle. Apparently just did a movie with Jane Fonda. That sounds interesting. as well as potentially soon doing a little improv with James Fonda. That's where he's not like a stand-up comedian. Most of the comedians that I follow are in the standing-up version, as Mr. Jimmy Pardo would say. However, he got his start and continues to be very heavy into the improv, which kind of fascinates me. It's something I have a fascination in and would probably add it to my list of, if I won the lottery, something I would check out and maybe do if I had the time and energy. Last thing I wanted to say about him was his television show currently on the air called House of Lies. The reason I wanted to bring that up is because I have never seen it. Despite my love of Ben Schwartz, I do have a, let's call it a thing, where I don't really like watching television shows that are currently on the air. I do it in very, very few cases. I could probably name them Modern Family, Parks and Rec, Doctor Who, Nerdist, and I think that's it. Under the Dome, maybe. I'm still debating that. And even then, I don't watch them on TV. I watch them online. So, the reason I say that is I want to know from you, the listener, if anyone out there watches House of Lies, because I want to know if it's good and how Ben Schwartz is in it, and when eventually, sad to say for Ben Schwartz and Don Cheadle, who's in the show, in the program, when it is off the air, it's definitely something I will check out. That, it kind of, for me, falls into the same category as the television show Burn Notice, with one of my favorite actors, Mr. Bruce Campbell, who said the backyard of the house I'm currently living in is sexy as hell when I sent him a picture of it. Yes, that Ben Schwartz, or that Bruce Campbell. I've never seen an episode of Burn Notice. I know he's on it, and it's still on the air, so I kind of don't want to jump on board until I can get them all and binge watch them. I've been ruined by binge watching, basically. Alright, I'm at work, so I'm going to stop talking. Well, I'm going to go into work and probably have to talk, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean, because you are smart and beautiful and sexy. And love you, dearies. I'm a fool to do your dirty
working.
And we're back.
We are back in action.
Hello again. 8 hours of work completed. Mission accomplished. Thus concludes Jordan's work talk. Let's do very, very briefly, because I don't touch on it basically ever. We're doing that this morning, and I'm crazy. It's hot out there. The old thermometer's saying 33, and that's as I'm driving 120. So you got to assume it's hotter than that if you're not moving and it's humid and what have you. It's like hitting a wall coming out of work and coming out of the car. Not fun, and I don't like it. Thus concludes Jordan's weather talk. I think the potential exists that I may do a long version of this Froth Internet Day episode just for several reasons. I have a lot to talk about, and not a lot of time today. However, little behind-the-scenes action, which I occasionally do, despite the fact that it is Froth Internet Day within the Liberal Cube, in the actual real world, it is only Wednesday. Shit. Hump Day completed, at least. We're closer to the weekend than we were this morning. That's something, right? Yeah. But I still have those 2 days and all my podcast recording done, so I could do a long episode, and I'm kind of leaning that way, especially when you consider the fact that I'm wasting all this time saying that I might do it. Anyways, let's just play it by ear. So, next item up for bids. No. Next item is a TED Talk. Yeah. We love a little TED Talk in the Liberal Cube. Haven't brought one back in a while, it feels like, although I don't exactly keep track. The only thing I try not to do, and I'm not even successful at that all the time, is to bring the same thing back twice in a row, 2 Internet Days in a row. So next week, I will try to remember to not bring back any dead times. Now, I don't always follow that rule if something awesome were to come up that I couldn't resist. But that's sort of a general rule. Because this is my podcast, and I podcast how I want to, you would podcast too if it happened to you. What? Huh? There are no rules, basically, is where I was going with that before I derailed my brain. TED Talk the First. The title, I didn't write down the exact title. I kind of realized TED Talk titles, and that's fun to say, I've just realized, TED Talk titles are quite often long. And I have a little itty-bitty teeny-weeny notepad. It's not the size of the notepad, it is what is written within. However, I don't always have room to write down the long TED Talk titles. still fun. TED Talk titles. I like it. But, man, did I mention it's hot out there? Oh, Jesus. My brain is brain fried. TED Talk title in question here is... had within it the word wooden skyscraper, which interests me, because when you think skyscraper, you quite often think, no, you can't have a wooden skyscraper. That is ridiculous. It would fall over and burn, and not good things with wood and tallness. However, it turns out that perhaps it's not such a bad idea after all. Fuck. King cars. Sorry, just dealing with traffic matters, which I'm not used to dealing with. However, people are driving like idiots. Man. Especially this one guy riding my ass. Huh. I'm going faster than I should be, allegedly. But, ride my ass. Yep, I'm gonna slow down a bit, just to really piss him off. Thus concludes Jordan's Car Talk, Wooden Skyscrapers TED Talk titles. Okay, this guy sort of points out that the amount of sort of carbon footprint, yeah, that's sort of his big focus, is your carbon footprint. The amount of carbon needed to create steel and concrete is actually pretty astounding. He threw out statistics, which I did not write down, because that is not how I roll. I will just say, they were astounding. So, right off the bat, you probably think, as I do, what, you're going to cut down trees, but they are turning our CO2 into oxygen. And that's ridiculous. Why would you want to do that? Now, something cool about trees, that's a sentence you probably don't hear very often, something really cool about trees is that, and I didn't realize this until he brought it up, well, I realized it, but I didn't think of it in the way he's thinking of it. A tree will take in carbon dioxide and turn it into oxygen. However, if you are to burn that tree, it is releasing all of the stored carbon dioxide. So your carbon footprint that it had erased is suddenly back. However, if you cut down these trees, all of the CO2 stored within them is still stored within them. It's not, it has stopped, obviously, at that point, taking in CO2 and converting it to oxygen, but still, it still has within it the CO2 that it has stored along the way. So that's kind of a cool thought. Our buildings, if created from these trees, would be things that did not need CO2 in vast, huge quantities to create, that's just then sort of dispersed in the atmosphere, but rather were made of things, trees, that had CO2 stored within them. So that's one of his points. Some of his other points is that he didn't get into crazy amounts of detail, but he did say that the potential exists for this to become a somewhat easily renewable resource in terms of farming. So it's not as if you have to wait for a tree to be gigantic before you cut it down and then make boards out of it. 2x4s, for example. He has sort of, I don't know if he's developed this process or it already exists, where you can take down younger trees and then take that material and sort of fuse it together into giant boards of wood. And when I say giant, they were... Did I write it down? I didn't write it down, but they were big. Like, enough that it would sort of cover the side of a building, almost one piece of this giant wood-created board. So, anyways, I should just leave that behind with saying, I don't know what I think of this. It's an interesting thought, and I am glad they put it in my brain, just for the reason that now I can think, wooden skyscrapers. Interesting. Okay, the next TED Talk was about the interspecies internet. What? What does that even mean? That is crazy. That is a TED Talk title. That is one thing I will say, despite the fact that the TED Talk title can be long, it can also pull you in. For example, this one, when I hear interspecies internet, I think, what the fuck does that even mean? My voice goes up when I think about it for some reason. This all started, basically, with a quote-unquote keyboard that could work underwater and be pushed by the nose of a dolphin. What? And that was in 1980, and the computer was a friggin' monster. But that was sort of the impetus of this, that if a dolphin, or any animal, had the ability to interact with a computer, it would sort of, I think the way they're looking at this, and a very, very cool way to look at it, is bridge the gap between humans and animals. What? Just friggin' mind-blowing shit. This talk was actually done by, I can't remember, it was four or five different people. They'd all sort of take a piece of the puzzle, if you will, a piece of the timeline, and talk about how their work fit in with this. Basically, though, it is allowing, their examples were dolphin, chimpanzee, was there a gorilla there, elephant, and showing that these animals are sentient, and that if they have access to one another through devices they can manipulate, things happen. And some astounding things. Things that I'm not going to go into because I don't really remember 100% what they were. And I like to be at least somewhat accurate and not just make shit up. That's how I roll with facts. See, I don't necessarily have to know 100% what I'm talking about. That's silly. Obviously I don't. However, I can sort of point you in the direction of knowledge with tidbits of a sort of knowledge brain drops. The brain drops, once you visit this TED Talk, will become a brain lake in your brain of information about interspecies internet. Yeah, that made pretty much 100% sense. You thought I was going to say no sense, but no. I'm sure it made a sort of sense. Okay, let's move on to a series of videos on YouTube. A series of videos from the good people over at Revision 3, which has turned into one of my main sources for video game related news and reviews and things of that ilk. So, thank you for that. In particular, I should thank Mr. Adam Sessler, who is the sort of reason that I decided to stumble on over to Revision 3. Once he left and the G4 television network sort of moved away from nerdy shit to whatever the hell they're doing now, Adam Sessler needed a job, and he went over here, and I'm glad that he did, because I think it allows him much more freedom than a video game-related show did, because the television is much, much, much more restrictive to artistic types than the interwebs, which is just sort of a bountiful, playful wonderland of wonder. This podcast, case in point, they probably I just assume, although maybe I'll make some calls, that they would not let me do this podcast on the television. You never know, though. I'm going to make a few calls tonight. We'll go back to it tomorrow, see what comes to fruition. Anyways, Revision 3 videos, three of them I brought back. I didn't mean to do that, but hey, I did. Revision 3, three videos. The first one's cool, and I'm very, very excited because it was about me speeding up and passing a dump truck, hopefully, if this van speeds up. Go faster. Van. Faster. Stupidos. The first video was about the Oculus Rift. Have you heard of this? Have you heard of this thing? Basically, it is the first... I don't know if you could say the first working VR helmet, virtual reality helmet, or the first, perhaps more accurate, and I think more accurate, is the first VR helmet that works and works well. Okay? That's perhaps where the definition differs. Because I think they've had VR helmets in the past that, although technically worked, did not give you that sort of full immersive feeling. Whereas this, from the sounds of it, really, really does. And that sort of thought that within my lifetime, I will have a virtual reality helmet. I can guarantee it. Perhaps I shouldn't have said that and jinxed myself because maybe I'll friggin' die tomorrow and miss it. And that would be a shame. A dirty, rotten shame. And the fact that I just said that probably makes it even more likely. And the fact that I just said that makes it even more likely. I should just stop talking because I am basically taunting death, which is not a good idea, people. Don't taunt death. Don't taunt death. There's not, I don't think, available yet, really full 100% made for it games available for the Oculus Rift, but there is some cool things. One thing they pointed out, just sort of people kind of messing around with it so far from the sounds of it, I guess, that you can upload to it or sync in with Google Maps, specifically, I should say, Street View. So they were talking about, and this is just so friggin' mind-blowing, that you'd put this on, and then you'd go into, say, Google Street View in Paris. And then as you moved your head around, it was as if you were in Paris, moving your head around, looking at friggin' the sights of gay Paris. Jesus. That's amazing. Just simply amazing. And I'm so goddamn excited for it. One more thing before I leave that behind. They pointed out the potential for horror games on this thing. And that actually kind of had me like, oh, geez, I don't know. I've played some scary horror games, most recently the Amnesia Dark Descent, and I could say if I felt like I was in that game, immersed within it, that'd be a little too terrifying, I think. Heart attack warnings needed. Okay, let's move on, because I'm almost at home. I am going to run out of time, and I have four more items, so I will see you tomorrow for more. How about that for a first time doing it, I think. Adam Sessler talked about Kickstarter and video games, and how he kind of does not think it is a good thing. I think I've mentioned on the podcast that I did do a Kickstarter. I shouldn't say I did one, but I paid for a Kickstarter, the game Leisure Suit Larry, the sort of remake of that. I believe I heard that it is going to be the very first Kickstarter create a game that is going to be actually fully released to the public. So that's nice to be kind of, you feel a little almost involved with it. So I'm out of time, so just watch that video to hear what Adam has to say somewhat negatively about it. Somewhat, kind of, sort of. I don't want to get into it, but it's a negative slant. Lastly, there was a review of Civilization 5, specifically a expansion pack. The only reason I bring this up is because Civilization, sort of the series, looks very, very cool to me. I've never played any of them. I hear they're super, super addictive. So the reason I brought it up is because I watched you listening to this, if you've played Civilization V and listened to this podcast, perhaps you can make the educated guess if I would like it or not. So I would love to hear from you. Perhaps to the email address provided in the closing credits. Perhaps on Twitter, I am Jordan_Maywood on there. Folks, normally I'm used to pulling into my garage, as I am right now, yet still talking, and saying it is nice to be nice to the nice. But although that is true, I'm going to come back tomorrow and do some more. I need some sort of music to indicate that I'm like going inside and going to have dinner and then going to sleep. So think of that, Jordan. Think of music to put there. Okay, goodbye!
Everybody tells you reading stories will put kids to sleep, but it never works. It didn't in my house. The cats nestle close to their kittens. The lambs have laid down with the sheep. You're cozy and warm in your bed, my dear. Go the fuck to sleep. The windows are dark in the town, child. The whales huddle down in the deep. I'll read you one very last book if you swear you'll go the fuck to sleep. Go the fuck to sleep. For real, shut the fuck up and sleep. Go the fuck to sleep. Jesus Christ, what the fuck? Soar through the sky, heartless, and the creatures who crawl, run, and creep. I know you're not thirsty, that's bullshit. Lie the fuck down, my darling, and sleep. The cubs and the lions are snoring, wrapped in a big, snuggly heap. How come you can do all this other great shit, but you can't lie the fuck down and sleep? Can't lie the fuck down and sleep. Go the fuck to sleep. I got two words for you, kid. Go the fuck.
Again. Yes, the day has passed. We're not going to get that one back. No, it is gone. Whew, way to start out pretty depressing. So, when I say start out, I mean continue on, of course. Because I have, since last we spoke, gone inside, eaten a little dinner, watched a little TV with the missus. Ooh, on that note, why don't I throw in a little tease that in, should be next TV Tuesday, I will have at least one episode of An Idiot Abroad, the new season, which I believe is season 3, which is currently on the air, and it is so friggin' hilarious. One of the funniest things I've ever seen so far, in existence. That's perhaps selling it a little bit too much, but very, very funny. Let's just leave it at that. Because I do not want to run out of time again, I am going to hop right back in to the Fry Internets. Yay, that. Item the 5th, I do believe, according to my notes, is a new edition. I guess we will call it a YouTube channel. Yeah, I think it's safe to say this is a YouTube channel called Space Hamster Games. The games in question are video games. So, kind of fitting that we left off talking Revision 3, which is a YouTube channel that focuses on video games, and this morning we're talking a new YouTube channel. Well, I don't think it's new, but new as in I just found it, found out about it. Same thing, YouTube video game channel. Hey, why not? Why the hell not? This one, I probably will bring back from time to time, just because I like what he does, and it is basically lists. I'm a huge fan of lists. Creating my own, other people's. There's just something soothing and organized about a good list. Yeah. That probably says something about my personality. I'm not sure what it says, and it may not be good, but I love a good list. You know what I could say on that note, on the list note? And this is kind of adorable, I will admit. The Mrs. and I, as you may know, if you listen to this podcast, celebrated our third year anniversary not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, several weeks ago, about a month ago, not quite a month ago. It doesn't matter. Anyways, so I always make my cards to her because I think it is a combination of cheap. Oh, that's not why I do it. I do it because I think it's nice, something, you know, handmade, and a little more thought and time put into it than just going to the store and picking something up. So I always do that, and I said, okay, you know what? This year, you're doing it too. I said, put my foot down. That's what I did. Anyway, so we both made our own cards, and sort of the adorable part comes in with the fact that we both had within our cards sort of lists of why we love one another and stuff. What? Totally not planned ahead, but just sort of ended up that way, which is pretty funny and adorable, so I bring it up because why not? What I've done with Space Hamster Games lists is sort of just brought back the lists in question and then who was number one on the list. So basically going to ruin them all for you. Perhaps the spoiler warning at the beginning does make a little sense for this one. Although, me saying what came in number one will not ruin the rest of the list for you. So, the first one is top 10 sports games for non-athletes. Being a non-athlete, this title appealed to me. Although, after watching it, I didn't really get the title because a lot of the sports games were just sports games, like a hockey game and, I don't know, just regular sports games. So I don't know where the non-athletes comes in. I guess other than the fact that these are video games, and if you are a non-athlete, you can play a sports video game and perhaps even have a sense of accomplishment in a sports-related area that is not technically sports. That's a thought. Whether it's a valid thought, I do not know. I will let you be the judge. The winner of this top 10 was Tony Hawk, number two in the series. He pointed out that there's actually 14 Tony Hawk games. They haven't made one in a while, I guess. I had one for the PlayStation. That was good. I had a lot of fun with it. It had like a kind of a story to it, and the story was fun and interesting. Some jokes, and then that is sort of underlying your doing crazy tricks and stuff, and upgrading and creating a character. And I remember having fun. This one, Tony Hawk 2, I did not have. I believe it was for the PlayStation 1, which I didn't have a PlayStation 1. I was a Nintendo guy at that time. But I did have a friend, if you are listening, probably not, Mr. Derek. Yeah. He had it, and I remember watching him play and just being amazed at how good he was at it. So, I have memories of this game, although playing them are not among them. I probably did pick it up and try it, and I think I remember being horrible at it. Okay, so that will move us on to the top 10 best swords in video games. Swords, I'm saying, but pronouncing the W extra for comedic effect. Swords. See? That's how that works. I knew, it's funny, I knew automatically after seeing this title what was going to be number one, so perhaps you do as well. I will give you a 1, 2, 3 second pause there to decide for yourself. Of course, it is Lynx, Master Sword from the Zelda series. That goes without saying. In fact, the guy who does this these videos, who's a pretty funny dude, even said within this video, like, of course this is number one. I knew you would know. So, that was kind of funny that he said that, and I was thinking it. I like that. It felt like a psychic interaction between a YouTube video, which is fun. So, Link, Master Sword, obvious, super, super powerful, allows him to travel in time, in Ocarina of Time. He doesn't travel in Majora's Mask. It's been a little while since I played that. I actually, now that I mention that, dusted off Ocarina of Time. Probably it was last year. I didn't play through the entire game, though. It kind of, I don't want to say lost interest, but other shit came along that I played instead, basically. It's one of those games, both of them, Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, that do occasionally call to me. And I do have my Nintendo 64 still hooked up, and it's ready to go if the itch is ever overpowering. Okay, the last item in Spaced Hamster Games that I have brought back. He had more or less, but I just brought back these three. A three is a good number to bring back. You know, bite size, but you're getting a little something to chew on, but it's not too much that it's going to fill you up. Yeah. This one was called Top 5 Useless Items in Video Games. So I guess this was harder to find examples of. I actually tried to think of examples. Probably all the examples I thought of, or most, or the main examples I thought of, existed within the video game Skyrim. Because within Skyrim, you can basically pick up and chuck around or take with you and sell just about anything in the world. So as you can imagine, if you are in a sort of living, breathing, actual, real feeling world, and I will go as far as to say that with Skyrim, which is so detailed, there's going to be shit you can pick up that there's no reason for you to have, basically. He used the example in Skyrim of plates and showed a little video, because he'll sort of interstitch with various videos. He had a video of a guy with just a shit ton of plates everywhere. Just an entire room full of plates, basically. My example I would use is cabbages. Because you can pick up cabbages, and why do you need to carry around cabbages in a fantasy video game? Cabbages! The winner, though, of this top five was the bubble gun from Just Cause 2? Was it Just Cause 2? I believe it might have been Just Cause 2. Just Cause 2, I think I may have done on the podcast, and remember that it was a very fun and crazy game. This bubble gun, I did not find. I did not know it existed. Apparently, it was kind of hard to find from the video he showed. Basically, it is a gun, handgun in size, that shoots out bubbles. Shoots bubbles. Alright, that's a good spot for me to stop for now as I get a little breakfast this morning. But I will be back in a moment, and I will edit this out.
Editing.
On the road again! Road again! Mission accomplished. Unfortunately, the lovely and talented Jordan did not appear to be there today. At the Timmy Hortons that I frequent. However, upside, well, not of that, but they have this new thing called the grilled honey panini something. I don't remember what it's called, but it smells goddamn delicious. So, hey, thus concludes Jordan's breakfast talk. Hey, let's move on to a podcast. Talking about a podcast on a podcast. Is it meta? I don't know. I don't think it is. It is none other than Kevin Pollak's chat show. This is, I believe, the third item today that I did not plan on bringing back, however, could not resist because the guest was none other than Mr. Jason Mantzoukas. Jason Mantzoukas, who I'm sure I have spoken of from time to time. I know for a fact I have occasionally brought back the podcast that he is on called How Did This Get Made, in which he, along with two others that I can't remember their names right this second, because of my dreaded name curse brought on by the gypsy when I ran over her husband while getting a blowjob. Yes, that name curse. He's from there. He's from, you may know him from, if you don't listen to that podcast, may know him from the movie The Dictator with Sacha Baron Cohen. He played sort of his right-hand man, I guess you would say, in that movie. He's done a bunch of TV shows, just super goddamn friggin' hilarity oozing out of his friggin' pores, and it pisses me off that he could be so seemingly easily funny at the drop of a hat. Damn him. It is the jealousy, is what I am feeling. Again, like we spoke of Ben Schwartz, comes from an improv background, very, very, very heavily into the improv, which I suppose speaks very highly of people in improv having the ability to be funny easily, or I will say seemingly easily, because it, I can't imagine, is easy for anyone, just perhaps more so for others? I don't know. It's an interesting thought, how that works. Speaking of improv, as he did, as they sort of got into pretty heavily, he talked of his start in improv and something called The Herald. The Herald, and I did a little research on this, which I very rarely do, but as he was speaking of it, I kind of wanted to know a little bit more about it, which, you know, that kind of makes sense, because I spoke of this morning, or yesterday morning. God, my whole time stream is screwed up with this extra long episode. I spoke of at one point my desire to sort of know more, perhaps even do improv. So the fact that I did a little research on it is not really that surprising, is it? The Herald is basically, from the sounds of it, the most common, or yeah, one of the most common forms of improv structure. Just because people are making shit up on the fly, apparently, does not mean that there is not a sort of underlying structure to that making shit up, which I guess is a very, very good idea, just for the reason that if you have sort of a, and as he describes it, a sort of bare bones underlying structure that you can follow, it's going to make the overt, open improv that is happening on top a little easier if you don't have to worry about where it's going to go. So I very much like thinking of it that way. If you are unfamiliar with Kevin Pollak's chat show, I think I've said every time, and I guess I'll just throw it out to keep consistent, this is the first podcast I ever watched, his episode one with Mr. LeVar Burton. So I always throw out a little shout out for that fact and a kind of a thank you for getting me friggin' addicted to podcasts, you fucking bastard. Addicted to the point where I have started my own. This one, even. He will quite often have with him, he'll always have, I don't think they're married, so his wife slash girlfriend sort of running the show, not running the show, but running the comments, because the show will be done live on YouTube, and I keep meaning to find out like when one of these things happens and join along live, but I never have done so. Also in studio will be Sam Levine, who has come up on this podcast a handful of times, I'm sure. He started to tell this thing about how he saw John Cusack in a movie theater, and it went like a little something like this. I thought I saw John Cusack, but, and then he couldn't finish his story because he was laughing so hard. So what Jason Mantzoukas did in his sort of improvidness is decided that that would be the perfect opening to a joke, so he sort of said to the viewing audience, over the course of the show, I want you to come back with how that joke could end. I thought I saw John Cusack, but not surprisingly, I guess. I think his was the funniest that he came up with. I'm probably going to butcher this because I didn't write it down. I thought I saw John Cusack, but it was just a pile of old coats. Old coats. He has led a very, very interesting life. He received what sounded to me like a grant from, I don't know, a body of some sort to travel the world in search of music, specifically music that people believe connected them to the divine. So, yeah, that is odd. And he traveled around for years searching out musics that fit into this category. I recommend this video very highly just to hear some of that talk. Something you may not know of him, which I did not know, is he basically has a uniform. I think this is genius, to be honest with you. He will, I guess when not in a role that demands he wear something else, he will always wear jeans and a white shirt, a white button-up shirt. That is his uniform. That is what he will wear every a single a day. Love that thought. Sort of frees up your mind. You never have to think, hey, what am I going to wear today? He said it sort of comes from when he, I'm not sure if lived in or visited a monastery, and the thought that you do not, if you can eliminate from your life thoughts such as this, you can focus on more important things. So I very much like that. Maybe I'll look into that. I'll be the guy with a uniform. I am almost at work, so my last item, which is also a podcast, is not going to have all the time it deserves, but I'm going to slip it in. That's what he said to her. It is an episode of the Nerdist Podcast. He did not think we're going to do a Fry Internet Day episode without mentioning our buddy, our pal, Mr. Chris Hardwick, did you not? He has come up every single episode with the exception of one. So, gotta slip him in a little bit. Especially because his guest, very, very cool, was Mr. Jeff Bridges, which I've never really heard a long interview such as this with Jeff Bridges, and I imagine you are the same, because I think he said it was his first podcast. It was awesome. I'm at work, so I'm going to have to not talk about it at all. The only thing I want to mention, and hope this happens, is if you know, Chris Hardwick has a, again, let's call it a web series because that makes it easy, web series called All Star Celebrity Bowling, and he hinted at the fact that he would like to get Jeff Bridges and the Big Lebowski cast of Buscemi and Goodman to join them for a round of bowling. That would friggin' be one of the most awesome things that has ever existed on the internet. He said, even Chris Hardwick said, I think it would kill the internet if this happened. It would explode in awesomeness. Folks, we did it. I'm at work. I'm going to end this episode, this very, very long episode, by saying it is nice to be nice to the nice.
Thank you for listening. This has been another edition of the Lackadaisical Libra Cubicalist. We here in the Liberal Cube would love to hear from you. If for any reason you would like to contact us, you can do so via the email address, maywood.jordan@gmail.com. And now I have a theory.
I've got a theory that it's a demon, a dancing demon. No, something isn't right there.
I've got a theory.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine.
Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met.
Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet.
The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine.
Live long and prosper.
you have found the hidden track that I've done in order to make this episode exactly 1 minute now.